Luke chapter 14, verse 15. You got to remember this scripture in the context that it's given, because when you look at scripture, there's the present context, there's a future context, and then there's an eternal principle. So remember that when we're talking about this. Verse 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, they said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, all things are now ready. There's two parts here. He bade many, or gave them the announcement that is coming, now it's ready. And they all with one consent, y'all say all, they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That for I say unto you, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Father, we love you. Lord, we praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne, God. And we know, God, that everything is in your hands. Lord, we know, God, that you are in control of all things. And we know, God, that you've got a great feast waiting for us on the other side. But you got something here waiting for us, too. And Lord, help us be eager to get our hands on it. And for you to get your hands on us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Say it. All right, get ready. Remember, I told you it's going to be okay in the end. Remember that. All right. Today, this thing will work. There. Today, we're going to talk about getting off our butts. Getting off our butts. Why is the number one thing you hear of people when you go to ask them anything and they're not going to do it or they don't want to do it? They'll go, but. Let me go a little bit further into this, okay? Before you think I have lost my mind worse than I already have, we're going to talk about butts. Ready? We all have them. They come in all sizes. Usually they're pretty big. Some of them bigger than most. Some are so big that others try to hide behind them. Some of us use them more than others. And they always end up getting in the way. Ready? We're going to talk about some butts. Ready? Yibbit. The church frog goes yibbit. The church frog. You ever heard the church frog? Yibbit. Joshua the church frog. Yibbit. Yibbit. I can't. But I'm too old. But I'm not, I'm too young. Well, I'm not educated enough. But I don't have enough money. But I've already been through so much already. But I have never been through anything. And the list I hear every week is endless. If I could write down how many times I hear this stuff, not just here, wherever I'm at, you would be amazed. If I had a butt counter, I could take all of us out to supper today, tonight. If I got a quarter for every butt I heard. All right. So let me stop for a second before we get started so you understand. There's a difference between a reason and an excuse. All right? There's always a difference in a reason and an excuse. So the difference between a reason and an excuse lies in the intention behind them. A reason is typically honest, it's valid, it focuses on explaining the cause of the situation. Many times we can't help it, we get overwhelmed by the reason, we get broadsided by the reason, and so many times as we're trying to go through life, we've got things that we've got planned, but we can't do it because the legitimate reason gets in the way. Amen? How many's had reasons hit you lately? Yeah, every day I have reasons hit every day. I remember when I was at Procter & Gamble, back before we had all these computers and these cell phones, I had a daytimer. Y'all remember those daytimers? And that daytimer, I had a list. I was an engineer, and then I had a list of projects to do, and I had like 10 that day. And I even put priority by checks. One had one check, none check, one check, two check, three check. Let me know which were the priorities. And I'd be there 8, sometimes 12 hours a day and even get called back in. But the next day, when I looked on my day timer, I transferred usually 5, 6, 7, 8 from the day before because of all the reasons that kept hindering me taking care of what I needed to get done. So, remember, a reason is a good thing. Although they can be tough on us, it's legitimate. Y'all say legitimate, all right? But in contrast, as a matter of fact, I've been waiting to preach this one. This was actually going to be my first sermon of the year, but I just kept going through and going through, and finally, this is actually the first sermon of the year. We've already talked about butts excuses all year. Often an excuse is dishonest. It's invalid. And it seeks to avoid or shift responsibility for the position. Now, it's between you and God if it's a reason or an excuse. Because I have to be honest. Sometimes I have to stop and think when I say something, am I saying a reason or I'm saying an excuse? I asked somebody the other day, tell me, we really need you there. And it was going to be a long trip and it was a whole bunch going on. And that was a reason. But eventually, they said, But they were telling me to butt, but you can't, blah, 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 blah. And I finally just looked at them and said, okay, here's why I'm not going today. They said, why? I said, because I just don't want to go. No excuse. That's the reason. I just don't want to go. They said, okay, we got you now, bro. So again, reason is honest, valid. And it explains the current situation. Well, my car was in the ditch. DC was here today. He come in, even though he was feeling kind of funny, he was here today. But halfway or just about all the way through, we were all the way through practicing, and he really got sick. And he come back here and said, I'm going to try to push through. And I said, no, we're not going to try to push through. You're going home. And I'm glad he went home because it got worse. And so that was a reason, not an excuse. And it hit just like that. So, Let's get going here a little bit further. Ifs, ands, and buts. If ifs, ands, and buts were candy and nuts, we'd have Christmas all year round. Ifs, ands, and buts. Get ready. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants to have a relationship with us. Listen carefully. He wants that relationship to be the most important relationship in our life. Over our wife, over our children, over the church, over anything. But our relationship with God is supposed to be, He desires it to be, said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He wants to be the most important relationship in your life. But we often make excuses. The Bible is full of people, and I just got a couple. The Bible is full of people making excuses. Making excuses is as old as human beings itself. Genesis 3, they ate that fruit. Adam said, it weren't me. Adam, did you eat that fruit? It was that woman you gave me. And he asked the woman, and she said, it was that serpent. And of course, when he asked the serpent, he didn't have a leg to stand on. Then Exodus 32:24. Moses is up on the mountainside getting the Ten Commandments. He has left Egypt with all them people. They have given them gold and silver and all kinds of fine jewelry and all kinds of metals. And so God was not going to send them out empty-handed. But while Moses was gone for 40 days and 40 nights, the people said, we need a God we can see, that we can worship. And they said, Aaron, can you build us one? Moses is up on the mountain talking to God, and Aaron, who says to be the holiest of them all, is down there putting the gold and the silver in the pot. Made a golden calf, and they were worshiping the golden calf. Moses comes down and hears it. And Joshua's halfway up there looking out for Moses, and he looks over at Joshua, and Joshua says, sounds like there's war in the camp. He says, no, it's not. And he goes down, and the people were worshiping that golden calf that Aaron had made for him. So, this sounds like some of us. As a matter of fact, it sounds like some of my children. God looks over at Moses, Moses looks over at Aaron and says, what happened? He said, I don't know. I just boiled this gold and a golden calf jumped out. Read it. Let me read it to you. It's crazy. Don't that sound like something a kid would tell you? I don't know. I just was taking care of business. I was just sitting here minding my own business, and I was melting all the gold, and a calf jumped out. No, it didn't. It had to be made. And so here it goes. Let's see. And he said to them, whoever has any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it in the fire. And there came out this calf. Really? You threw all your stuff in the fire and a calf jumped out. Talk about the king of excuses. That was not a reason. That was a yes. So, not only do we have big butts, God has big butts. God had a big butt too. But there's a difference. And here's the difference. With us, after the butt comes an excuse. And it's secondary. But with God, it's first, but God. But God. But God. Y'all say, but God. This little phrase shows up over 66 times in the Bible. But God! Not God saying, well, but It was, but God. Yeah, things are falling all to pieces, but God stepped in. Think about it. How many times you had somebody in your family sick and you prayed and you thought now things are going to work out, but God stepped in. You thought you were going to lose your job and lose any way to take care of your family, but God stepped in because you talked to him and he showed you something. You see, our buts are excuses. God's buts are a response to Satan's challenges in our life. Matter of fact, I love it when God shows up and says, I see it going bad, going south, but God come in and took care of business. Now, think about this. Let's see here. No excuses. 99% of failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. Benjamin Franklin said, the man that makes excuses is seldom any good at anything else. Abraham Lincoln, we talked about it early in the first of the year. Abraham Lincoln said, excuses are nails that build a house of failure. The world says no, but God will say yes. The world says I can't, you can't, but God says you can. The world says why, and God says why not. The world says stop, God says go. The world says defeat, God says victory. God is an awesome, 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 awesome God. We're getting ready to talk about it, but God wants us in his house. And I ran across something very colorful the other day. Because I get to hear all these excuses all the time. Man, I hear so many excuses. I hear reasons and I hear excuses. And I automatically know in my head that is a reason. And I know here's an excuse. Here's a reason. Here's an excuse. All right. So I watched these things. And what about if your reasons for not coming to church were the same reasons you gave for not taking a bath? Get ready. Ready? 10 reasons why I do not wash. I was forced to wash as a child. Number 2. People who wash are hypocrites. They think they're cleaner than anybody else. Number 3. There's so many different kinds of soap, I can't decide which one is the best. Remember, compare this to not going to church. Reasons for not going to church. Number 4. I used to wash, but I got bored and stopped. Oh, here you go. I wash only on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. Number 6, none of my friends wash. Number 7, I'll start washing when I get older and dirtier. Number 8, I can't spare the time. Number 9, the bathroom is never warm enough in the winter and or cold enough in the summer. Get ready for number 10. It should be number 1. People who make soap are only after your money. Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk about let's see. So what's your excuse? What's your excuse? Let me get the Bible back. Luke chapter 14. Verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and asked many people show up, invited them, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they were they all with one consent, they all together began to make an excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I have to go prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Now let's just hone in here for a while. Ready? The three buts. Come now, everything is ready. Now, if you look at it in context, it was talking about a great feast there. But also, if you look at it, it's also talking about church. But it's also talking about going to heaven. So it's got so many different contexts in this. So in that day, what they would do is there was always two invites. The first invite was to tell you what they were going to do. As they were preparing it. We're preparing it. Y'all get ready. So then, as they're preparing it, when it gets ready, now they come and say, okay, it's ready. It's kind of like ringing the dinner bell. You're smelling it, but you haven't heard the dinner bell yet. So now the dinner bell rings, and you ring that, and you know it's time to go. So now the feast back in that day was something very, very, very special. A lot of feasts many times would take days. Sometimes feasts would take weeks. The Feast of Tabernacles, it took 7 days. So there's so many times feasts wouldn't just go for 30 minutes, go in, go out, you know, through the drive-through. It was get ready because there was going to be dancing and there was going to be sharing and there was going to be gifting and there was going to be so much things going on. And so it's very important that when you came to this feast, you came prepared because there was going to be a throwdown. So that's one thing these guys knew how to do was have a throwdown. Now the thing about this feast is it was special. It was special. It didn't happen all the time. It happened on certain occasions. Think about church. It's not every day. It happens on certain occasions. There was no limits. Man, they would have all kinds of stuff. Their entertainment, have clowns, or they would have dance groups or whatever. There was so much going on. Same way with church. If you get into it, there's no limits. You are allowed to fill to the full and then fill to the full and fill to the full. Now, when you come to church, you can just get by with a cracker. But God wants you to feel to the full because there's so much here for us to eat. And when you left, you always left different. You never left the same. You know, anybody ever heard of Deion Sanders? I'm pretty sure most of us have heard of Deion. Deion Primetime Sanders was an outfielder for the Atlanta Braves. He also was a cornerback for the Atlanta Falcons. He is the only athlete to hit a major league home run and score an NFL touchdown in the same week. Wow. Sanders grew up on the mean streets of Fort Myers, Florida, where he was exposed to some would-be athletes that spurred him to make a success of himself. He explains these athletes. He called them Idas. Idas. A-D-A-S, Idas. If I had done this, I'd be making $3 million a day. If I'd have practiced a little harder, I'd be a superstar. If I'd have. They were as fast as me when they were kids, but instead of working on their dreams, they chose drugs and a life of street corners. When I was young, I had practiced. My friends went straight to the streets and never left. That moment after school is the moment we need to grab. We don't need any more Idas, 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 Idas. Wow, Idas. That's very powerful. So here it is. But they all began, they all at one time began to make excuses. Sometimes they even hate to even invite people. Not just the church. It may be something wherever, in my family or something. Because when I start inviting people, I might as well go ahead. You know what I did one time? I had somebody tell me, can you please come pick me up for church Sunday? So I went there, went out of my way to pick them up Sunday. And they said, can't go, got such and such. I said, all right. So the following Sunday, said, don't forget to come pick me up. All right. And went out of my way to go pick them up. And they said, well, you know what? I got this and this and this going. And they did this for 4 or 5 Sundays in a row. Don't forget to pick me up. I go out of my way to go get them. And pretty soon they were giving me the same excuses over and over again. So the next time I just went over to their house and I gave them a mason jar. True story. True story. I gave them a mason jar and it had stuff folded up in it. And it pulled it out and it would say, I can't dance. Or it'd say, I'm too hot or I'm too cold. I don't feel good. I can't drive nails good. My feet hurt. And they said, what is this? I said, it's your excuse jar. I said, from now on when I come to the house, you ain't got to try to make up another one. Just give me the jar, let me draw one out, and I'll drive on by about my business. I think the point got across. Sometimes I think all of us, including me, need an excuse jar. So we can open it up and pull it out. One guy went to try to borrow another guy's lawnmower. And he said, can I borrow your lawnmower? He knew he was going to mess it up. He said, can I borrow your lawnmower? And he said, I can't play the fiddle. And the guy said, what's the guy doing borrowing your lawnmower? He said, it don't matter. Any excuse is as good as the other. You ain't getting my lawnmower. So here he goes out. He's talking to these people. The very first one says, but they all have one excuse. First one said, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. Number one, in that day and time, you did not buy anything until it was thoroughly examined ahead of time. Number two, it was supper time. How can you go see a piece of ground at supper time? There were no street lights. Everybody had not had their bunny out yet. Energizer Bunny was not around. So not only was it an excuse, it was a lame excuse. So then he goes to the next one and he goes, and another, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. That's 10 oxen. And I have to go prove them. It's supper time. Number one, you're not going to buy them without proving them ahead of time. So Not only is it a lame excuse in one way, it's another. Do you know that the horns on the oxen do not have lights on them? How are you supposed to see to check them out? Then finally, another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. That's more of a reason than an excuse. She said, don't go, and I didn't. I'm playing. That was an excuse too. So what it is, here's the excuses. I want you to think about excuses. There's a difference in a reason. Please, it's a difference in a reason. I know that we all have reasons. You may have to work that day. You may have something that you got to do. I know, there's weekends where you have training, and there's weekends where you got to go take care of urgent business. I'm not talking about reasons. I'm talking about excuses. First excuse, I got somewhere to go. The next one was, I got something to do. I got those yoke of oxen. And the last one is, I have to see someone. Really? I can't get this out of my mind. One Sunday, I had this guy lined up to do something in the church. And he called me up and said, I can't go to church today. You got to get somebody else. I can barely move. And he had a family of like 5 or 6 people in his family. He goes, I can barely move. Pray for me. I thought we were going to start down 911. He didn't show up. None of his family showed up. I get out. I'm on the way back to Washington. And he and those people passed me on the way to McDonald's. The rabbi passed me and go. I thought, wow, that guy had a miraculous healing. I did have a guy tell me one time his grandmama had died. Could he get off? I said, sure. And he come back a couple weeks later and said, my grandmama's sick. I said, I thought she died a couple weeks ago. He said, yeah, but she got better. We're going to get serious now. Ready? This is serious now. 7 excuses that'll hold you back when God's trying to do something with you. This isn't just church. This is just being used by God, period. Church is just one of the many facets that God wants to do in our life. Number one, excuses justify the need not to change. Let it sink in. Number two, excuses validate mediocrity. Like those people that told me they couldn't come to church, so they were so sick, thought they were going to have to, go to the hospital, and they passed me on the way to McDonald's. All of them having a good time. Look how they were riding a clown bus. God does not want us to settle for second best. Excuses are self-focused. They're full of I's and me's. You know, a church girl wrote a letter to the editor of the newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. Real. This is real. I've gone for 30 years now, he wrote, and in that time I've heard something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember one of them, one single sermon. So I think I'm wasting my time and the pastor's wasting theirs by giving sermons at all. This started a controversy in the letters to the editor column. But much to the delight of the editor, because he liked it. He liked controversy. He loved it. And it went on for some weeks until somebody wrote back that put an end to it all. He said, I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked me some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this, they all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me those meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. Wow. Let's just read this scripture. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Notice here that it doesn't just say consider ourselves, but consider one another. And to be together, to pull together more than we've ever pulled together. Did you know that encouragement's necessary? Do you know that's why AA and NA work so good? is because they're having meetings all the time. And they're encouraging one another. They get to talk about things that's been a challenge to them and how this helps them. So it's very important that we have that safety mechanism called the church. Number four, excuses are a part of the language of victims. They try to seek sympathy from others because of the situation. It's easier to excuse versus execute. That's not up there. It's easier to excuse than to execute. Number five, excuses breed a culture of hopelessness. One of the most depressing phrases I can think of is, I can't. Number six, excuses put success out of reach. When the going gets tough, excuses enable us to turn and run. In the job I'm in, I can't tell you how many excuses I hear. I was at Pitt Detentionary years ago. And I was in B block. And this really, really tall guy was in B block. And he looked familiar. And so I said, where'd you go to high school? He said, D.H. Conley. I said, what year? And he told me. I said, what year did you graduate? He said, 78. I said, did you know Dominique Wilkins and Alvis Rogers? He goes, yeah, I played against them all the time. And then he told me, he said, you know, it's crazy. One of them's playing for the NBA. Another one's playing European League. And Alvis Rogers was Wake Forest Rookie of the Year from Washington High School. And he said, I can't stay out of this place. And I said, well, what do you want to do about it? He says, I really want to change. Says, but I can't. And he started naming up all these excuses. And we had a long talk that night. And I said, you got to quit hiding behind these excuses. You have to get up and decide. And when we got through talking, he was so inspired. He said, you'll never see me again. A month later, guess who was in B block? We still had some inspiring talks. He said, I'm never coming back. That happened six times. And every time he would see me, he would start off by taking his head and holding it down. And I go, don't hold your head down. Let me talk to you. And he said, but I'm not. This time, number six, he said, I'm not doing this again. I promise. I said, don't promise me. Promise yourself and promise God. A couple months went by and I didn't see him. I go over in F block, which is federal. People getting ready to get shipped off to prison. And guess who I saw? That was number seven. And all I can think about is he's in the federal pen right now, been locked up constantly. And he was a star player. And I don't know if he had the same opportunities, but Dominique went pro. Alvis went pro but got hurt, so then he went to European League. But still, they played ball till they retired. And this guy stayed locked up until he retired. Always giving me an excuse. Excuses put success out of reach. Let me ask you a question. On your job, in your family, you know, one of the biggest ones in our family on our job is, it's an excuse to put success out of reach is, it'll never change. I was trying to help a guy who has a bad alcohol addiction. And I talked to his uncle. And his uncle said he's never going to change. He said, because if he wanted to, he could do it like that. And I said, if he could do it like that, don't you think he would have already done it? He's lost his job, lost his house, lost his kids, went to prison, lost his sight because he had a stroke. Don't you think that if he just wanted to change like that, it was going to happen? No, he was living in Excuseville, and you're in Excuseville right now. He needed God to step in, and he wouldn't let him. That's six. Number seven. Excuses can cancel out. Please listen carefully. Excuses can cancel out what God has for you. Wow. How do I know? Let me read this. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, none of those men who were invited and didn't show up shall taste my supper. Contextually, it was talking about the Jews and the church. The Jews rejected it, but God gave it to the church. But now the question is, if he's given it to the church, do we take advantage of it? All the time, I have people in the detention center say, can I go, can you just take me aside for a minute? I said, sure. I said, what you need? And I said, just pray for me. Please just pray. Just pray. Just pray. And always carry this anointing balm. It's frankincense and myrrh from Israel. It's in the balm because it was in a bottle. Have you ever seen oil leak out of a bottle down your pants leg? Not a pretty sight. And you can't get it out, so it looks kind of, you know, look kind of rough right now, trying to be serious with somebody, and then think you've already peed on yourself. Frankincense and myrrh. And I started bringing that with me when I pray for folks, and especially when they're under the gun, and I'll put it on their hands, their foreheads, and I'll ask God for peace. But I said, when you start to fret, because I know when you fret, you start doing like this. I said, when you start to fret, I want you to do this. And I want you to remember that you've been anointed. God's got you. The Holy Spirit's got comfort for you greater than your pain. I talked to a guy in the detention center, and I'd put it on him, and the next week, we walked in, and he said, can I talk to you again? I said, sure, what you want to talk about? And he went and sat down and said, can you put some more of that on my hands? He said, because that night, when I couldn't lay down and rest, he said, I did what you said. And I smelt that sweet aroma, knowing that's what the wise man gave Jesus. And he said, I slept like a baby. We've got the anointing. We've got so much to do. We've got so many people to touch. So many things that we can do to make a difference in this crazy world that we live in. Let me ask you a question. One question. That's all I'm going to ask. Brandon, get ready to play something. One question. Which side of the butt are you on? It sounds kind of silly. Which side of the butt are you on? But if you think about it, very powerful. Are you on the but God side or yeah but side? I read the other day one of the excuses one of the guys gave to his college professor, said his cat, he couldn't take the, please excuse me from my exam. My cat's having kittens and I'm her coach. Which side of the butt are you on? Is it yeah, but? Or is it but God? Which side? You ain't got to answer to me. You ain't got to tell me. I want you to think. This is all for thinking purposes. This is for thinking purposes and for prayer purposes. All this whole sermon was about going to God and just making sure there's a difference in that reason and excuse. How many are the reasons and how many are excuses? DC leaving out the way he did today, that was a reason. Yeah, but the first leaves you undone. The second, get that for me, Eddie, please. Is that yours going off? Can you get that for me? Tell him I'm busy. The first leaves you undone. The second helps you get her done. There's only the second one pleases God. God, help us to evaluate what we say and do. And are we good at making excuses? Are we good at getting it done? Everybody stand. Bow your heads. Close your eyes, please. Nobody looking around. We are living, and I hear people say, yeah, 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 they've been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. Well, they may have been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, but now it's here. We actually can see the rapture take place before our eyes. The question is, are you going to let God use you in the middle of all this? We all don't have the same call. We all don't have the same talents. We all don't have the same ability, but we all can be used by God. So my question, again, is which side of the butt are you on? The yeah butt or the butt God? The next time you can't make up your mind whether it's a reason or a butt or somebody's giving you a bunch of excuses, you know, you always say, go get on, you know, woke up on the wrong side of the bed, go back out and climb in the bed and get out the right side. Sometimes you need to tell somebody to go back home and get on the other side, get on the other side of that butt. Jesus Christ is wanting to affect this world in such a powerful way right now. and people are wanting it. They're wanting it. They're wanting it. And we got it. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Number one, if you're not where you should be at with God, no excuses. You know the reason. If you're not where you need to be with God right now, you know the reason, not the excuses, the reason. And you want to do something about it today while nobody's looking around. Would you put that hand up? I'm not as close as I need to be. I need to be closer to God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Maybe you're here today and you've got in the habit of excuses being the go-to. So much that it doesn't even bother you anymore to give that excuse. If you know, and you'll be honest, nobody can see you but me. If you'll be honest and say, I don't want to let excuses be my go-to anymore, I want to get it done, can you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Lord, bless him. Lord, bless him. Lord, bless him. Lord, bless him. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I thank you, God, that although you had many reasons for not taking that cross, you took it anyway. No excuses. And I ask you, Lord, to help us to live an excuse-free life in the name of Jesus. You're powerful. You're awesome. We know you got it, Lord. Help us give it to you. No more excuses. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Help us not to miss the feast here or in the hereafter. In Jesus' name, amen. Then we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And then we get to send our prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Steve to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.